I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is Neil. He has leukemia. Let's talk about it.
I fucked up. I didn't hit record on Neil's mic, so we're back. Neil is currently with us with a mic that's hot.
It's super hot.
So let's continue where we were.
St. Patrick's Day.
God, some girl kicked you in the fucking head.
Like, tell me all about that. I want to know every detail.
We were playing Flip Cup.
Competitive. I get it.
Right. Yeah.
And say no more. I'm just kidding. Please say anything.
It was actually my first time playing, so I was a newbie at it. Ended up losing for our team. Not expecting it. This girl that was on my team just turned around and just sucker punched me right in the sternum.
What?
Yeah, and I completely lost my breath.
Was she okay mentally? Like, what the fuck was that all about?
She was drunk, so that pretty much explains it, I think.
University antics.
And she's jacked. Like, she's a professional bodybuilder, pretty much.
Jesus
Christ!
Like, yeah. Fucking throwing your weight around.
Was it like she just hit like backhanded you?
No, kinda, like,
or she just like
fist.
Turned and just wound up and was like "fuck you" and punched.
Like
you
she stepped into it, like left foot forward, planted her feet, and just drove into
just
your
Mike,
chest.
Mike Tyson'd you.
That's at least what I remember. I was a little intoxicated at the time too, so
right, naturally
as you are when you're playing Flip Cup
on St. Patrick's Day.
But I ended up losing my breath and passing out, smoking my head on the table and falling to the floor.
Oh my god, dude, she could almost killed you.
Seriously though,
holy shit, did she feel bad?
Oh, she felt terrible.
Okay, well that's good. At least she knows.
Yeah, and then so I had a concussion after that.
Oh my god, dude.
And ended up going a couple weeks. Woke up one morning with this super bad pain in my leg, and went to the bathroom because I felt like I was going to throw up too. So I was just standing over the sink. Next minute I know, I woke up on the floor.
Oh shit.
Just no idea what was going on. I was like, oh fuck, I passed out. This isn't good.
Did you hit your head again and get another concussion?
No, I kind of like just kind of slumped sideways.
Oh.
No, was this due to the concussion that you passed out the second time? This is the next day, right?
This was a few weeks later.
A few weeks later. Fuck.
Yeah, this was like April 3rd, okay. I think. And I mean, St. Patrick's Day, much earlier.
Right, right. So at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. I realized like this was not good. I should probably not go to school this day and go to the doctor. Ended up going to the doctor. She didn't seem too concerned at first, but I pointed out this rash that I had on my ankles. It was like these little red dots. It's actually called petechiae. It's medically just droplets of blood underneath the skin. And it's a sign of low platelets. So she saw this and she was just
low what? Sorry?
Platelets.
What are they?
Platelets are a part of your blood that it's the clotting factor. So when you cut yourself, it's the platelets that rush to the scene to
just make everything kind of coagulate and block up the cut.
So you're like a hemophiliac.
Right.
Sort of. Yeah. When I was on the cancer camp trip, there was a girl who was brushing her teeth and her gum started to bleed really bad, which is a sign that her platelets dropped while we were at the camp.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. It's a sign that
something's going wrong.
When you cut yourself and it won't heal. Right?
Yeah.
And then they also do platelet. Maybe you got into this, but they do like platelet transfusions.
Yep.
So they like take platelets out of someone else and feed them into the other person.
Yeah,
did, you, did you end up doing that?
Yeah, a couple times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the doctor heard this and she was just like, you should get some blood work done. Ended up doing that the next day, I think. And my doctor, my family doctor, called me that night around supper time and was like, there's some abnormalities with your blood results, but come in tomorrow and we'll discuss it and check it out. And then I was upstairs doing some homework last week of school, you know, trying to...
Being a good boy.
Trying to.
Has anything over the course of the concussion, passing out, the doctor calling you, abnormalities, are you thinking anything? Any in particular?
I was thinking maybe like diabetes or something that's okay. been in my family a little bit mm-hmm. here and there, but nothing crazy.
Nothing like leukemia.
Yeah. Yeah. So then my doctor called back again at like 9 o'clock that night and ended up talking to my dad for a little bit on the phone. And so when I took the phone, he was just like, yeah, so I've been looking over your results again and they're pretty concerning. Enough so that I think you should go to emergency right now and get it checked out.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so like my parents rushed me over there and we ended up spending, I don't even know the time that we got out of there, but they did more blood tests and a lot of waiting around. And then the doctor came in and was just like, okay, so we have your test results back. We've gone over it. Like just to start out, do you suspect anything? Like, what do you think we're looking at? And I was just like...
Interesting question.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Take a guess. A wild guess.
Yeah, seriously.
What do you think you got, kid?
Yeah.
Diabetes? Oh, fuck no.
Yeah.
Definitely not diabetes. Let me tell you.
You would have been lucky to have diabetes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, holy fuck, why would you ask that question? What are you expecting?
That seems to be across the board a weird thing that doctors do yeah. every time, like when there's about to be like a serious diagnosis of something. They're like,
what do you think? Yeah,
they ask weird questions or react weirdly.
I'll give you three guesses, and if you guess it right,
I'll treat you.
You get a sucker. Yeah, yeah
but if you don't,
Jesus Christ. Okay,
fuck,
so
sorry.
did you say diabetes at this point, or were you like,
I just looked at him blank with a blank stare and was just like, I have no idea, like what's going on. And my dad chimed up and he was like, well, like our doctor was saying leukemia maybe. And so in my head, I was just like,
wait, did you know that your doctor was saying leukemia maybe?
No.
Oh, fuck.
No.
Your
like
old man just had that.
Well, and didn't, when he called back at like 9 o'clock or whatever, there was about 5 minutes that they were talking. So I thought it was a call for him. And then he called up to tell me, like I was up in my room doing homework.
I understand him not throwing that down.
Yeah. Well, why? Yeah. Why would you? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But at that moment,
yeah,
the first time to hear it, it's like, Dad, what?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Yeah. How old were you at the time again?
I was 19.
First year university. Yeah, so that's weird for me because you're technically, you're legally an adult.
Mm, and, yeah, yeah, I guess.
And like,
I guess
so. Yep. Yeah, they should be telling you first, if anything.
Oh, yeah. I felt that like after the fact, looking back at it, it was just like,
a little weird.
Yeah, I feel like he should have told me and not so much my dad. Like when my dad said that, I just looked at him and was like, the fuck? Like, leukemia, I know that's cancer, but I have no idea what this is. Like, what is this?
Yeah. Neither do I. I think this is a good, and I feel like probably a lot of listeners are like, neither do I.
Yeah.
What is leukemia?
So leukemia, it's a blood cancer. There are actually four different variations of it. Mine specifically is called acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
We are familiar with the word lymphoblastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
T-cell lymphoblastic lymphoma.
That's right.
Our buddy Andrew. is suffering from. So it was affecting your lymphatic system. Is that it's targeting the lymphatic system through your blood?
It was targeting my leukocytes. So leukocytes.
Who is that?
I'm pretty sure they're part of your white blood system.
Okay.
So your white blood system is your immune system, attacks bad cells and things in your body. So leukemia, what I had was that at a young, mature cell, they divide quickly. The acute part means they divide very quickly.
Fast.
Okay.
They don't develop like they should. So they can attack good and bad cells, and they just overpopulate your system, so it can take over the space that is needed for your platelets. That's why I had the rash on my ankle.
Oh, okay.
And like your hemoglobins and red blood cells and stuff. So I'm not that I know, but I think the whole me passing out, part of that was because I didn't have the red blood cells in my system to take in the oxygen like I should.
Right.
So I think that may have played a factor in me passing out so easily.
Right. So she wasn't really that strong. Yeah. I mean, like, let's be real about it, you know?
You guys might know her, actually. But,
her name's Ronda Rousey.
former UFC. Yeah. Bantamweight.
Okay, so that's the type of leukemia you had. So in the coming back to the emergency room, your dad drops... Well, we thought it might be leukemia. How did the doctor respond?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. He was just like, yeah, that's...
He's like, we have a winner.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Chicken dinner, yeah.
Wow. He just said, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. He said, yes, that's what we're looking at.
He like wipes his brow and he's like, glad you said it. Fuck, yeah. I was stressing about that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, that's why I asked that question, so that it didn't have to come out of my mouth. I have a friend who is he's a pediatric oncologist, and him and I have spoken a number of times about, especially since the podcast has started, about the ways that doctors tell their patients that they have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him saying something to the extent of, you know, there's so many different ways that you can tell them, and as long as you're doing it in a tactful way, it doesn't really matter how you tell them. What matters is what comes after that moment, how you hold yourself, how you handle yourself as a doctor around that person after you tell them that they have cancer. And We actually, his name is Bear. We were talking about it. His name's Garrett. I call him Bear. Bear and I were talking about this when I was in Oregon. And it made me think, like, that's a question that I've never asked anybody on the show who's had cancer. And I'm curious to know, talking to you right now, what was this doctor that told you had cancer? Was he your oncologist? Or did they feed you to another doctor? And what was the relationship there after the fact?
He was the doctor in the emerge that night.
Okay.
I actually ended up having a different oncologist, or a hematologist actually, who was the on-call hematologist.
Right.
So they're not necessarily on site, but they get called immediately when something
comes up.
Yeah. So he didn't tell me 100% this is what I had. It was like, they need to do more tests, and they needed to do a bone marrow biopsy to make sure that, like, this is what we're dealing with.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think I ever met up with him after.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Cause I feel like a lot of people, they get to a point where I guess, again, it's completely fucking different from person to person, but a lot of people's story is that they end up going through these tests, and then they go and they see an oncologist, and they're like, we don't know yet. We're going to find out. And when we do find out, we'll let you know. And then they find out, and then it's like, oh fuck. Whereas in your case, it seems very fast, right? Like,
oh yeah.
You're in there, and the next thing you know, yeah, it might be leukemia.
And this is actually the next day after you saw your family doctor. You got the blood test. They called you later that night, and then you went in.
Yeah, I went for blood tests that morning, and I actually ran into my family doctor that day, or like right when I was getting the blood work done, because he was the on call at the duty clinic.
Oh, okay.
So he saw me, and he was just like, "Oh, like just come in for a sec, like let's talk."
That's very quick.
Oh, shit.
Very, very fast.
Not that he knew at that time, right.
The thing, Jeremy, just to go back to what you were saying, the thing that stands out to me that a lot of our past guests have said is that the moment after they're told, it's just kind of like white noise.
Yeah,
like everything, wah, like
wah,
they just
wah,
can't.
Wah, 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 wah,
yeah,
wah,
like
wah,
they just
wah,
they just yeah. totally zone out because their mind is going at like a million miles a minute. Did you feel kind of like that, or were you pretty like, did you have a lot of wherewithal in the moment?
I feel like I was different. I'm pretty sure I zoned in at that point, mm-hmm. as opposed to zoning out. Like, he said leukemia, and in my mind, I was just like, okay, this is cancer. I don't care what you're going to tell me next. Not that I'm not listening, but I'm going to get through this shit. Like,
mm-hmm. What's next? Let's move forward and get this fucker out of here.
Yeah. One of the things also to point out about doctors who are telling patients that they have cancer, like it's really crazy to think that like we respect doctors a ton because they are amazing people that do amazing things, but the reality is that they're just human beings, right?
Yeah.
And because they've gone to school for
so
eight,
easy to forget that,
right? Like 8+ years, it doesn't make it any easier to tell somebody that they're dealing with something as difficult as cancer,
dude,
right?
I bet that you find a doctor who has told 1,000 people over the length of their career that they've had cancer or they've had something that it could be terminal. And I bet it is never one bit easier the 1,000th time than the first time.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm sure that they never get enough practice at that. Mm.
So what was, what followed? But you know, you said you tuned in, your senses kind of heightened, you were ready to take this fucker on. What was the next step?
So they shipped me down to the Victoria General, that's where they have their hematology floor. I was admitted that night. The next day was a lot of tests, bone marrow biopsy, MRI.
How bad was that? Does that hurt? Does that suck?
I've heard anything of bone marrow is painful. That's
yes
what I've
and
heard.
No. Like, I've had really bad ones and I've had really good ones. Right. Like, I mean, I'm up in the 10 to 15 bone marrow biopsies at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do they do? Is there a big needle?
Yeah, it's fairly big, I think.
As big as Brian's pencil dick?
A little smaller, maybe.
No, God, no. It's bigger than that.
I've got nothing to say to that.
where are they? So this is interesting because they're why are they doing bone marrow? Because I thought they were thinking it was blood cancer, right? Or
but that's where your blood starts.
Okay.
So your bone marrow is it's what creates all the cells for your blood.
And it's common for leukemia patients to get blood marrow transplants, right?
Yes. Actually,
and I'm sure you probably
you mean
got one.
Bone marrow transplant.
Or sorry, what did I say? Yeah, blood marrow? Blood sorry, bone
oh,
marrow.
Yeah, yeah. Bone marrow. Yeah.
Okay.
Or yeah, stem cell these days.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
So where do they usually take it? Do they go to the femur? Like which bone are they using?
They go to the pelvic bone, I guess, at the very lower back of your spine.
Yeah.
Your lower back, kind of right in between your like the dimple areas.
Yes, yeah, so between your SI joints, like your hip. They take it out of your hip.
Yeah. So yeah, I've had pretty painful ones.
Needle goes into your bone.
Yep.
Oh,
and then what do they have? Like 7 people tugging on the thing to suck the marrow. Like, I feel like it can't be that easy to get marrow out of the bone.
Dude, how do they get a needle through bone?
Yeah. They just have a hammer.
They must drill.
Yeah. They do.
Oh, they do. Ooh, what?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
No wonder sometimes it sucks.
So they numb the area, like your skin, around it, just so that the needle's not hitting those nerves.
Yeah.
But then this needle is heavy enough that they have to poke it through the bone. And then once it's in, they extract some of the marrow. Marrow is a very spongy tissue.
Okay.
So it comes out pretty easy, but it does not feel good when it's coming out.
Yeah.
What would you equate it? Excuse me. What would you equate it to? Like the pain? Is it like a pressure or is it sharp?
It's sharp. Definitely.
Is it enough to like, if you've got a tattoo, I saw you had a tattoo on your wrist there. That's a pretty sensitive spot to get a tattoo, especially once you get to the wrist bone. Is it like that kind of or is it like, you know, like when I got this tattoo, there was never a point where I was like actually wincing. I was going, yeah, I can handle this, but it definitely hurts.
No, you know? This is a wincing.
It's
it's a very sharp, quick pain.
Oh yeah.
Because it, like they're not drawing back for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's definitely one that makes you want to bite your thumb off.
I heard somebody say one time, and this is a long time ago, have no idea what the source is, that it was similar to like pulling your quad or pulling like a stomach muscle. Like in that moment where like it goes, where it pulls or tears. Oh. And like that intensity.
So it's something you don't want to do a lot of, which you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like 15 times.
And every time they do the biopsy, they have to do that?
Yeah.
Because they have to take it out every time. Yeah. Fuck, 15 times.
It's, 10 to 15. I lost count after.
That's nuts.
Three. And yeah, there was one time that they hit a nerve or something, and I just, my whole body just shriveled up, and I was so close to tears.
What's the setup? Like, they have you laying down on a bed?
They have you laying sideways.
Dick out.
Just everything
just
out.
Just out, yeah.
Actually, your ass is just hanging out. yeah, so you're kind of in fetal position, and they expose the area, and they clean it up.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot of force to get through that. So you're almost falling off the bed at times because they want you right on the edge.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. So,
just got like seven nurses on the other side, just pushing you into it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, they're actually looking over your shoulder, just kind of like, oh yeah, this is what's happening. Yeah,
there it is.
You're so that's crazy. Right in that
guy's butt. Yeah.
So you're in the hospital. This is like the next day you go for all these biopsies.
Yeah.
And they've told you that you probably or you might have leukemia.
Yeah, they were about 90% sure at that time.
Okay.
Sure.
So what's your mindset like?
It's like, this is just one more thing. Let's get through it.
Right.
Do you think that was a good mindset to have going into it?
Oh, I think it was a great mindset.
Yeah? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering if, like, you know, it's like when you have that ego, and then when things don't go well, when you're always used to them going,
it could be really, really devastating.
It can be one of those things that's so devastating that it just sets you back and you go, oh my God, I'm failing, right? And so I'm glad that it wasn't that, right? I'm glad that it was like, okay, well, I've got this shit under my belt. Let's just put one more notch on it.
Yeah.
That's so really cool.
How long did it take to get the results back from those biopsies?
The next day, I'm pretty sure.
And then they confirmed it then?
Yep. And so time-wise, I was in on August the 7th. Or April the 7th, sorry, and I started treatment on either the 10th or the 11th.
Wow, that's so fast.
What's that like?
You can't fuck with it, though, you know? Like I feel like blood cancer is just, you can't fuck with that.
Yeah, and it was at, like, they told me that 3 months earlier they probably wouldn't have found anything, but they found it quick enough that they started treatment right away, but, like, the marker or the results that they found was in my white blood cell count, which normally falls within 3.5 billion per liter, and 7.5.
That's a mind-blowing number.
My number was 29.
Billion?
Billion.
Whoa. Holy fuck.
And that, the morning that I got blood test done, it was at 26. And then when I was in the eMERGE that night, it was up to 29.
Whoa. Wow, that's crazy. That's aggressive. Did they give you any indication as to if you had been, if this had presented itself 3 weeks down the road, then your situation would be way different? Or did you ever have any indication of how much longer you could have gone with?
Or did they give you like stages? Were they like, this is what stage you're currently at, right, or anything? Like, did they name the stage or anything like that?
No, they never. I never heard stages ever being called.
I wonder
out
if that only applies to tumors. I don't know at all.
That's a good question. I don't know either. If you do know and you're listening, write us and let us know. We would love to know.
I really want to know what it's like logistically. Like, I mean, whenever anybody is diagnosed with something like this, then, and they live like a busy life, which most people do, whether you're a student, whether you're work, whether you're staying home, taking care of kids, whatever you're doing, like logistically, it must be so hard to just put everything on hold. So you were saying that you're just about to finish school, right? Like, were you done school at that point, or did you have exams coming up?
I was studying for exams. I had a major report due like the next day.
So are you just immediately like letting go of all of that and like fuck it, or do you want to try to finish it before you get to do that stuff? Like, do you have to tell friends? Like, what's going through your mind?
I really had no choice. School wise, I just had to drop it all.
Yeah, I mean that's what I feel like. That's what I'd be like. All right, fuck everything.
It just must suck so bad being like 2 days away from finishing a course that you've been taking for like 3 months, right?
Yeah, luckily I got my credits because I was so far along.
But like, it's your life. I mean,
yeah, and everything was happening so quickly that it was, you didn't really have time to think about it.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that feeling when I'm so grateful that I haven't been admitted as much as some people that I know with cystic fibrosis, but like when I get admitted, it's like, all right.
Every single time
there
that
goes everything that I know.
Jeremy and I's like bonding factors is like film and television. And, and oh fuck, man, whenever I find a show,
I think
or
this has
or
come
a movie,
up on the podcast before.
Especially a show that has like that's been on that we just discovered, or that one of us just discovered that I did. And I'm like, dude, you got to listen to it. You got to watch this show. And he goes, yeah, sweet. I'll bank it for the next time I get admitted to the hospital. Cause he'll go in for like 2 or 3 weeks or some shit like that.
I need that, you know, just use that time to really take in my art.
Yeah. Movies, books. Yeah.
Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements?
I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm making an assumption right now. I don't know if this is fact or fiction. Is radiation just to target a tumor?
No.
So did you have radiation?
I've had the whole shebang.
Oh, okay. Radiation and chemo?
Radiation, chemo.
Thanks for dispelling that, because I totally thought that I was accurate there.
Yeah.
But they,
where do they shoot the radiation into you, though?
Your brain.
But if you have a tumor...
Oh, Jesus, I wasn't expecting that.
But just before we move on from that, radiation, like, sometimes they take the tumor out, right? And then they're not targeting the tumor when you go through radiation
Right.
I don't need to justify the fact that...
Right. I'm thinking of Matt Amiot, who had a brain tumor, and they couldn't take the tumor.
They wanted to shrink it.
Yeah, they wanted to shrink the tumor, right? So they had like a pinpointed radiation on his head, and then to shrink the tumor before they removed it.
Yeah, okay,
that's why I was thinking that.
So they were radiating your brain. Were they pinpointing a certain area? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so you're because blood gets through everything in your body. It can get into your brain.
Oh, they don't want you to get the cancer up in your brain.
Yeah. So like one of the chemos is a lumbar puncture, so a spinal tap.
Oh, fuck.
So that they inject, they take out a little bit of fluid and then inject chemo in there to target anything that's inside the blood-brain barrier.
Whoa.
Because
so it's a it's more of a preventative thing, is it?
Yeah, it was in my case. Yeah. I'm sure that some people
some people have
it. I never had any signs of leukemia in my spinal fluid. So I was lucky with that, but they, with the radiation, they target just below your brainstem, I think, or like, yeah, it was a while ago.
Sure.
But yeah, they pinpoint one very specific area and you get a mask made up so your face doesn't move around and stuff because it can be pretty, pretty drastic if... If they hit anything.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they're blasting radiation into your fucking head.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to lose your sight.
Yeah. The next thing you know, you're like, you don't know how to speak language.
Yeah.
Man, it always blows me away.
You just have a French accent for the rest of your life.
I'd be okay with that.
You're now Australian.
Isn't it insane, though, that like people found out that you can do this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's absolutely mind blowing.
Like, well, if we just fire this fucking deadly laser of something that I can't even understand.
Something that comes from the sun.
Like, oh man, it blows me away.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So you had all these treatments. You had what was your chemo schedule like?
So with ALL, it was a 2-year long treatment.
Oh shit.
So when I was admitted,
intravenous or oral?
Intravenous.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
So, I thought that was relative. Is that on the long end of things? Because I thought those were more like...
Sounds like a really long time.
Oh, 2 years straight? No. Sorry. Oh, okay, sorry, not 2 years straight.
Oh. Holy shit.
It was... So the first month I was in hospital for 28 days or something like that.
Sure.
And then after that...
And then you got out of the hospital and everyone was a zombie.
Dude, I was just thinking that 28 days later.
Fuck. Okay. Anyway, sorry.
And then after that, it was cycles. So it was broken up into 7 different phases or something like that. So
over the 2 years?
Over the 2 years.
Okay. Even still, that's pretty... I mean, I don't know. That sounds really intense.
Oh,
that sounds like a long time.
It was long.
How did you find the chemo? Like, were you getting, you know, I've heard a lot of cancer patients talk about chemo brain and...
Oh, yeah. That's a real thing.
Yeah. So,
What's chemo brain?
It kind of makes you stupid. Like, it kind of makes you, like, kind of lag and slow. And
yeah. It's like a fog. It's also called chemo fog or brain fog, I think. So, it's kind of like when you lose a word, you're trying to think of the perfect word and it's on your tongue, but you just can't seem to grasp what it is. That happens all the time.
How you feel when you get punched in the sternum and then fall over and hit your head and get a concussion.
Yeah. A little bit like that.
Forever.
for a long time, for an extended period.
And were you getting nauseous? Was it just the whole gambit of all the different?
Yeah, I probably went through all of it.
Yeah.
The first 6 months was very intense. Like that first month was just like being hit in the sternum. Just they come at you full force. And then it's kind of a cleanup phase. And then the last year and a half, or the last year, was like a preventative phase. So once I was into the preventative stuff, I was pretty used to it, so it didn't really cause a whole lot of nausea or anything like that.
You were addicted to it. You were like, oh, give me that chemo.
I need it right here.
Yeah, right in the vein. Right.
Oh, God, Jeremy.
What's it like having to tell all of your friends that you have leukemia?
It's rough. I told... a couple of my closest friends, like the night I was in the hospital or night I was in Emerge, like when they said, you probably have leukemia, I called them up and it was like 3 a.m, but I called them and I was just like, so this is what's going on. And then word just kind of spread from there. They told people and those people told people. And
I can't believe I never heard this. I mean, not that I stayed close with like very many people that were from our junior high days, because I switched schools and then I was, anyway, but I never even heard it through the grapevine. Yeah. Like, fuck, I don't.
Some of our teachers even heard, like elementary school teachers.
Crazy.
Well, and so you know, when you got held back a grade, like
that's people, not what happened.
People stopped wanting to hang out with
that's
you.
That's not
right?
what happened. That, like, that wasn't what happened.
That guy's dragging us all down. We got to cut him out.
Definitely don't tell him about Neil. Don't ever tell him about Neil, that fucking guy.
I even see Madame O'Coin at the yoga studio like all the time. Oh, yeah. She and fuck, crazy.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah, the listeners are loving this conversation.
Dude, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Hey, maybe she's listening.
Yeah, maybe she is.
Hello. Bonjour, madame.
Oh, God. Yeah, she speaks French. She was very sweet. I very much enjoy her.
Did you just kind of like take care of your close circle and then let it go beyond that?
Pretty much. It actually kind of sucked because my sister was in Cuba at the time. So
at the time when you heard,
oh, man. When I was admitted, and for that first week,
she must have been shook up.
Well, yeah. So she was in Cuba, and luckily, a friend, like a really close friend's sister, works for a travel agency, and word got down to the resort for her to call home. So I mean, she was panicking like no one's business.
I know that feeling. My sister called me today. My sister's pregnant. And I was at work, and she was like, I can't get a hold of mom and dad. They're in Arizona. And I was like, oh, what do you need? And she's like, I'm on the way to the hospital. I'm like, well, what's the fuck's got? Like, immediately, it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Like, what the fuck's going on? And I'm like planning my exit strategy just to get out of work. So I can't even imagine. She's fine. She was fine. She was just a little bit of blotting and whatever. She's okay. But being out of the country and knowing that, you know, I mean, I'm really close with my sister. So, you know, I can't fucking imagine.
Yeah.
You know, like, get me out of there. Like, get me home now, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember, like, the phone call. Like,
yeah.
Like, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And then she ended up coming home a day early, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much just close friends, and then it just kind of spiraled out from there.
Yeah, yeah. I really wonder about like the logistics of it sometimes, because I feel like that would be one of the hardest parts in dealing with it is like, I know that personally, if I ended up being diagnosed with something like that, I think that mentally I would do better than some of my friends and family, I think. And like having to deal with it with them would obviously, that would be a really challenging part of it.
Oh yeah. I think one of my mindsets through the whole, like the entire thing, was more to stay positive for everyone else around me, mm-hmm. because I mm-hmm. knew I could get through it, but seeing some of them and their reactions, it was just kind of like, don't worry about it.
Like, that seems to be a common thread, is like the person who has cancer is, or whatever, is dealing with it quite a bit better than the closest people around them, because you know that you can handle yourself. You know how to deal with you, or for the most part, but you can't control the people around you. You can't control their emotions. You can't, no matter how hard you try, it's very hard to reassure them of your confidence, because they have their own worries and their own thought processes.
Did you have any like really shitty reactions to the news, like people finding out?
No, not really. One was like, I had a pretty serious girlfriend throughout high school, and we broke up pretty early into first year. So
university, like, or
university? Okay. Yeah.
So it was still kind of a fresh, fresh-ish breakup.
Yeah.
By the time you found out,
yeah,
you
it was about
leukemia.
5 months or so.
Yeah.
So like, I made sure that I called her and like told her in person, sort of. Like what was going on. And she showed up once and then didn't hear from her after. And like, she was in a new relationship and stuff. So I finally got an apology last year or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Because I guess her boyfriend was kind of like, well, it's either him or me. Like,
whoa.
So
what a fucking dick.
So I was pretty bitter to
my
her
God.
For a while there.
What does that even mean?
That's the most, like,
I mean, I know what it means, it. But...
Said, like, yeah. What petty ownership bullshit. Like, fuck off. Dude. Oh, God. That just,
I know, right? That, it's hard to wrap your head around.
I really can't wrap my head around that, but yeah, whatever.
But,
I
dude, that's the...
Young, that guy will grow up one day, I hope. Fuck.
And, you know, dude, there's no shortage of that in... there's just no shortage of that.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't tend to deal with that. That sort of thing in our kind of in our circles. But anyway,
it makes me sad.
Yeah, it does. That is really, that does suck.
But I did have quite a few people that stepped up that I did not expect.
Didn't expect it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah, so that's like, really cool.
Some of my closest friends there now. Like, I mean, I owe a lot to them because they just took, made an effort to kind of always be there. And
sweet.
So it was great.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any really like embarrassing moments throughout the process of the leukemia?
Oh, so many.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with all the tests and stuff, like I had to get, STI checks right before any of the cancer. So like, I mean, a nurse holding your dick swabbing, it's kind of awkward.
What? Oh, we were talking about this yesterday.
We were talking about
wanting a guy to do it or a girl to swab your dick.
Would you prefer a guy to do it or a girl to do it?
I would much rather a girl.
Yeah,
really?
See,
I said a guy.
I'd rather have a guy handle a Johnson, stick a swab in it. Oh, wait, hold on. Jeez, okay. They needed to test you before... testing, like they needed to STD test you before leukemia testing you?
No, they tested me after the leukemia testing. This, I'm pretty sure this was, I had to go into the sperm bank and make a donation.
Oh.
Wait, bank some sperm because...
Oh, for your own
for my own
sake.
Personal use in the future.
Ah.
Because like I was 19. And
they're like this viral young man. We want to make sure we have this strong semen.
You were onto something there for a second.
There, I lost it.
Yeah.
Was that because it doesn't make you sterile? Is it chemo and shit?
Chemo can, yeah.
It can.
Yeah.
Okay. And is that your choice or?
It was my choice. Yes.
Okay. Sure.
But I mean, they came in, they were just like, so you should think about this.
Yeah.
I know it's really quick. Like you're only 5 days into.
Do they give you mags? When you
no,
go in?
No, man. Not,
yeah.
Not, what?
Oh, they
yeah.
do?
Oh, well, okay. I had to actually go to like not the Atlantic
Jizz Factory.
Pretty much. Bank.
The Atlantic right. Jizz Bank. Ah, the AJB.
Make a deposit.
Wait, so they give you mags?
Oh, yeah. There's a little room and a couch.
They must have
like
iPads now.
Dude,
they must have iPads now.
Oh, they had TV too.
Oh, no shit.
Like movies.
Is there VHS or DVD?
VHS, I think.
No shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck? When I went, it was a bathroom and that's it. They're like, yeah, that bathroom right there. And
is
I walked in
legit?
And I was like,
and a picture of the village men, yeah, or the village people.
Bridie was with me and I was like, can you come in with me? Like, I don't know how the fuck. This is stupid.
That's probably not allowed, is it?
I don't think so. It probably could, like, you know, contaminate the... I have no fucking idea, dude.
It should be. Like, think about what you're doing anyway. It's not like... It's no secret what's going on.
Yeah,
like,
we're all going into this room, fucking having a wank, and then we're all coming out. When I have a buddy come in and
that's
help
such
you
a
out.
Funny place. Did you have any awkward, like, walking down the hallway, like, catch a guy's eye and just, like, give him a nod or anything?
No.
Like,
high five?
Yeah. No. But it was pretty awkward going to that place with your dad. Just out
Yeah, that would be
fun.
Definitely.
Right. Well, Dad, I'm going to be right back. I'm just going to go.
You know what I'm doing, actually.
Rub one out.
I'll be 3 to 7
he's
minutes.
He's trying to make it better. He's like, it's okay, son. I do it too. I jerk
would
off
like,
too. It's
would you
good.
Like me to come with you, son? Oh, God. God damn it, Dad.
I don't know how to handle this either. So are you sterile now? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Oh, so that's something that you can check down the road.
Yeah, I'll probably get tested again.
Isn't it kind of funny that there's a freezer somewhere in this city that has your cum in it?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
That's super funny.
That's fucking awesome. So you said you had leukemia twice, and from what I know, you've had bone transplants as well.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of that.
Yeah,
shit.
So from the first time I got leukemia, With the excessive amounts of steroids, it caused blood flow in my hip regions to be cut off. So, I'm currently rocking two fake hips.
Oh shit. What are they made of?
Now you are?
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
So, yeah, okay. So just for a timeline. So leukemia, you get admitted and they diagnose you with leukemia when you're 19.
Yes.
And then the chemo and everything is 2 years. So you're 21 ish.
Yeah.
When that chemo and everything finishes up, and is the hip, all that hip stuff during that time, or is it post?
The hip stuff is starting near the end of it.
Okay.
So around in the winter time, I was playing soccer at the time. And was having really bad hip problems.
Yeah. Like pain and.
Yeah. I thought I had just pulled, my hip flexor or something. And that's kind of when I went on for a while, just trying to stretch that out and whatnot. And it took 6 months after that, I guess, for them to actually figure out what it was. Went in for some CAT scans of my hips. And they came back with the diagnosis of what's called avascular necrosis or osteonecrosis.
So your bone was just rotting away.
Yep. Yeah. So
necro is never a good word.
From the
steroids.
From the steroids.
Yeah, because steroids, like one of your past interviewees was talking about, it kind of puffs you up and makes you kind of fat.
Yeah.
So it was causing my, the veins leading to my femur, to kind of get
real
clogged
chubby.
Off.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So there wasn't much blood flow getting to the femoral head, and the bone on the top of it was starting to die off. So instead of it being kind of orb like, it was starting to flatten off on the top, so it wasn't fitting in the socket perfectly.
Ooh, whoa. That sounds fucking painful.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. Basically, I had to walk with Kane for a while there.
Shit. Yeah. So they got you. They got you. How long did it take for them to get you fixed up with a new hip? Two new hips.
Two years in total, I think.
How hard was it not to be confused
2 years to
for
get to get it?
Well, they started with the.
You okay,
first,
Brian?
What were you going to say?
I was gonna say, how hard was it for you to not be confused for a pimp?
You know what?
It would have been.
No. It's a good thing I cut you off for that question. Anyway, how long? It took 2 years for the.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so.
I got the cane. I installed a gold grill. I got a really big purple hat.
Fluffy hat.
And drove a Cadillac. And then they put the hip in, and I was good. So
I got rid of all that shit.
You should have customized your cane, too, so it looked like a femoral bone at the top, but you just flattened it off. Oh, and you're like, this is what's going on right now.
Yeah. That's actually
be able to show people.
Yeah.
This is why.
Show and tell.
So one of them wasn't as bad as the other, so they tried to do a bone transplant into it to regenerate the bone growth.
Right.
So that happened in November. November 2012.
Oh, okay.
I think. Or 13.
A while ago.
Yeah, a while ago. And that didn't take. So they ended up fixing the other hip. They started with my left hip. They went to the right one, did a full replacement. And then a year later, I got the second. So the second one was in 2013.
Shit. So what are the restrictions like? What's it like from your born with hips?
Not supposed to play sports that have heavy impact. So like basketball and
soccer,
football.
Oh damn! Because I know you love playing ball.
Yeah, I still play a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, I'm gonna have to go through at least two of these, maybe three, depending on how technology goes. So
three sets of hips?
Probably.
Holy shit.
Whoa. Yeah. So
what kind of surgery is that? Like, how invasive is that?
They cut you open.
Yeah.
Like, full.
Time. I'd imagine.
It's like a magic show. They put you in a box, they cut you in half, and they take your hip out, and they give you the new one.
And then they insert a dove inside you. And then when the hip is done, the dove flutters out of your mouth. And that's when you know you're healed.
Yeah.
Is that not how
I thought that that's how it works. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, didn't you watch The Prestige? I think that's what that movie was all about.
How good would it be, though, if like magic was real so that you could actually do that stuff?
Yeah,
right? That would be super convenient.
Super convenient to have doves in your
pen. And then all doctors would lose their jobs and magicians would just.
Magicians would be the new medical professionals.
You'd literally be witch doctors. so it's just the body. What is the body like, kind of? Or I guess what did you say it was, the hip? Like, what is it made out of?
So there's a titanium stem that's driven down into the femur bone that's left over.
Yeah.
So really they just chop off the head of the bone. So that like roundish.
So your the head of your femur is gone. It's now,
which is actually what baseballs are made of. That's,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a terrible joke, but sure.
I know. I'm like 0-2.
Yeah,
I'm rubbing off on you. I think.
It's not your day today.
You'd like it when I rub off on you, don't you?
Jesus Christ! God damn it! She is fucking cracked.
Okay, so they cut off the head of the femur.
Yeah, and then they drive in the titanium stem, and there are a number of different heads they can put on it. Mine's made of ceramic. But they can do other alloys, like the same titanium alloy that's the stem or whatever. But they figured because I was such a young, spry gentleman.
A little buck. Yeah.
Yeah, that they would give me something that's a little bit more wear resistant. And then there's a plastic cup that's on the inside of my pelvic bone, like where the socket.
Yeah, sure. Like an upside down bowl almost. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's both hips.
And so that just kind of, there's like wear and tear on that ceramic, the ceramic head of your femur.
Yeah.
To the point where they're like, okay, this is worn down enough that we need to replace this.
Yeah.
2 to 3 times before you turn into an old man and it would have had to happen anyway.
Yeah, well, if I was an old man, they said if I was in my 60s or 70s, they would give me about 20 years on it. They told me, because of my age, it's about 15 years.
Right.
And I'm giving myself probably a little less than that because I'm not going easy on it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Do you notice? Crazy. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's crazy how much friction there is like to wear down a ceramic rubbing against plastic, more or less. Like.
Well, there's probably some type of buffer in between it. I imagine just like the way that your body's put together, it's not your joint rubbing on a joint or your bone.
I think the plastic is the buffer, right?
Yeah, I think what the plastic is made of is slick enough.
That's like your I can't remember now. I'm having a total mind blank on what that stuff is, like in a joint. Yeah,
Man, that's crazy. So both your legs are like that, both of your hips.
Yeah.
What's your restriction like when you're just moving regularly?
Yeah, like what's your movement?
It's pretty good. There is some restrictions.
Yeah.
I know I've been going to yoga some, and I mean, I can't really move my legs in some of the directions that they need to be, or I don't have the...
Do you have issues with like rotation of the thigh?
Yeah, some. Right. But no, it's pretty good. Like most days I forget that I have it. Lately I've been... I know about 6 months ago, I was in the shower and I just kind of looked down, saw the scars, and was like, oh, yeah, fuck.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Kind of forgot about that until just now.
Yeah.
How hardcore are the scars? Are they on the side of the body? Like,
yeah, they're right on the side. They're starting to heal over now.
Yeah.
But they're I don't know.
At least you're
5 to 6 inches long.
At least you're symmetrical with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Two cool lines on the side of your body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you were it. I was looking at your application to the podcast, and it was saying that you had a stem cell transplant.
I did.
What's that like?
It's...
I picture it being so futuristic looking. Like...
They use robots for the entire procedure.
I feel like stem cell transplants are what happens on like...
Elysium?
Yeah, we're like on, you know, I was going to make an X-Files reference, but sure.
I had X-Files in my mind,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was just picturing Gillian Anderson laying on a fucking alien bed with like aliens kind of... I don't know, just poking and prodding, and next thing you know, she's got a stem cell transplant. How's it work?
Tell us how it really is.
Yeah, there's really no fanfare.
Shit.
Yeah. So they...
Never mind. Moving on. But
they bring in the stem cells. So, like, my sister was my donor, luckily enough. So she's hooked up for most of the day, them taking the stem cells out of her blood. And then...
How do they do that? They take the blood, they put it into like a centrifuge or something and spin the fuck out of it until
the
cells come out?
Like, how the fuck did you know that?
This is what I'm picturing in my head.
Centrifuge?
Yeah.
It's...
What's that?
Yeah, it's like a
spinny thing?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's like a spinny machine.
Yeah, it separates things.
It's a spinny machine.
It's like a blender.
Taylor, it looks like this. It's basically like, you know that that ride that's at all those fairs, the UFO one?
Right, yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah, it pushes you up against the wall.
No, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You are the stem cell.
Okay.
Blood is in the middle of that ride.
Man, you know, everyone understands now. I totally get it. I'm right there with you. Okay, centrifuge.
So they spin the fuck out of the blood and they I guess pull it out. But do you know what that process is? Like how like do they have to spin it at a certain rate to draw the cells out?
I don't know the medical.
Are you sure you don't know the rate, Jeremy?
That was a really crucial. Oh shit!
And then it spins at 312 meters per second.
If anybody knows how RPM. They draw those stem cells out, let us know. You can just personally DM me on Twitter because I would love to know.
Yeah. Check out apheresis machines.
That's funny.
So like they draw the blood. It goes into this apheresis machine, spins the blood, takes the stem cells, and then basically injects the rest of the blood back into my sister.
Are you guys laying side by side?
No, she was downstairs. I was upstairs rocking my bed.
And then you switch spots or
no? They bring up a bag.
They just bring up a bag
and they hang it.
That would be so overcomplicated if they were like, "Well, the stem cell's downstairs, so you're gonna have to get up and walk down to the second floor."
It would be cool if they could just do it on the spot, though, like from her into the centrifuge right into you.
Yeah,
that's the future. That's what you're thinking of.
That's excellent.
And while you guys are both getting Thai massages next to each other and you're having a delightful conversation,
so then you go, "Well, can you just bring the stem cell up here?" And they go, "Oh shit, that's actually a super good idea.
Cut the bottom of the basket."
"I need these baskets back."
Heritage moments, check them out.
Oh man, if you're not Canadian, then you will not get that.
All the Americans.
Not even like Western Canada. That's
really?
That's an Maritimes thing.
Oh man.
Get out of here.
Heritage moments
are
just.
Someone about that.
Holy shit. I bought the Heritage Moments, a bunch of us bought the VHS set for a friend of ours once.
Anybody who is American or Western Canadian, or if you live in UK or Australia,
just Google it.
Google Canadian Heritage Moment commercials. Holy fuck.
So many of them.
You probably will. It probably won't mean anything to you because you're not Canadian, but they're funny.
Speaking of commercials and shit, we should put that video of the greatest movie scene ever just on our Facebook, unrelated to anything, but just amazing.
Just so you know, Sick Boy endorses this movie.
So they spun the shit, took the cells out, put it into you. Yeah. How long? Wait, the bag, does it look like blood? Or is it just like, what does a bag of stem cells look like?
It has kind of a brownish reddish tint to it.
Crazy.
So there's still some red blood cells left in it, but it's mostly just
like poo water.
So no fetuses involved in this scenario.
No, that would be weird.
Okay, just checking. I hear there's lots of controversy over that.
Yeah, what was up with that? That was
I'm
a
not
thing
100%
for a while.
Sure.
Yeah. We're not going to get into that.
We could
anyway.
Go there.
Moving on. Let's rein it in.
How long did it take for they put the stem cells in you? Did your body have to accept them? Is there a chance of rejection of the cells?
Yeah, there is. So leading up to the actual stem cell transplant, I had to go through 5 days of chemo and radiation. So that they just basically killed out killed off your entire system.
Did you have to wear a gas mask? I know that there's a. I know that when they drop your immune system to a certain point, there's this thing that can happen where you're not allowed to breathe in particle, like any kind of particle, really, because even the slightest dust in the air could totally fuck you up. The way you're looking at me, I'm guessing you didn't have to.
I didn't have to do that, but I was in like a specialized unit for transplants, so it's
ultra sterile,
pretty quarantined.
It's like down the hall. There, you had to wash your hands to get in, and like they have
big, armed guards at the door.
Pretty close, yeah. So
all the doors go when they open.
That'd be awesome.
He was on the Death Star. Okay. Okay. And so you didn't have any troubles with rejection or anything like that?
No, not yet. It still could happen.
Oh, it's still setting.
Yeah. Well, not the, the first 100 days is when major complications can arise. But there's this thing called graft versus host disease, GVHD, that signs can show up down the road, like 10 years down the road, my liver could give out on me, or I could have problems with my mouth or eyes. Or
we experienced that with Andrew.
Andrew, that's right. Andrew was going through that.
So not to derail this, but, we're talking about the stem cell transplant. Have we entered into this second round of leukemia without talking about how that came about?
Yes.
Okay, so rewind us back to, is there a gap where you're like, oh, sweet, I'm good? Or, yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, as good as you can be, but, you know, in a fairly small period of time after you've had cancer.
Yeah, so it was 4 years.
4 years after?
In remission. So
This is... How recent is this?
Year and a half ago.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So pretty recent.
Yeah, November.
Because you're, what, 25 now, right?
25, yeah. Okay. So November 2014.
Shit.
Or October, November. So that was 5 months of just absolute hell.
Yeah, totally. Was that what? I mean, we were talking about this ego thing and feeling like I'm going to fucking beat this and having that confidence about it. Is any of that shaken when you, like, how did that come about? How did the news come back? Just cats, like your scheduled CAT scans or whatever the, your follow-ups are?
No, actually another funny story. Didn't get punched out this time. but I was just at my apartment, doing, I don't even remember, working out or something. And I went to the washroom and looked in the mirror and I had a rash under my eye.
Oh, fuck.
That
platelets.
Yeah, it was.
Dropped again.
It kind of looked like I had got punched in the eye, but not quite that bruised. Mm. More so that red petechiae. And so I was just like, I should go to the doctor and get this checked out. Like, it just kind of looked shitty. So I went to the doctor, told him my background as well as what I had. And he was just like, yeah, you should probably go to the Emerge just to get things checked out. Yeah. And ended up at the Emerge, and
when you go to emergency with that question, are you waiting at all, or do they just? I mean, in the emergency, like when you go to the emergency,
did they,
and you're
did
like,
have to wait. Wait time?
Yeah. No, it was
you go right solely, through.
No, it was like I was just a new patient. They didn't call through or anything.
Okay,
so I was just showing up as if I was someone that got shot on the side of the road or something. That like
they just put you in line. They're like, this guy broke his collarbone. You have a rash under your eye, and this person got stabbed. We take the stabbed person first.
Yeah.
You're third.
Yeah. So okay. I think I was there for 6 hours or so.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're going to, nothing's going to happen to you that night.
No. So they needed to take blood. And I had to wait around for the test to come back. Right. And then after
you,
that.
You know what would be sweet is if all of the emergency rooms just upped their Wi-Fi game, like, to the extreme, because we all fucking know we're gonna sit there forever, and that's a great time to watch those shows that I've been putting on hold. Right?
Good advice.
Yeah. True.
Good advice.
If you're a doctor or you own a hospital or something,
I don't think that's how hospitals in Canada work.
Just do
I don't
that.
Think people own hospitals here.
Someone does.
People own hospitals in the U.S.
Government, listen up. Trudeau, listen, you son of a, you beautiful son of a bitch. Get that Wi-Fi.
Get up your hospital game.
So anyway.
So you find out that you've, you wait, and they give you the news?
Yeah, they tell me. You have leukemia again. So I was just like, fuck it. This again. And then...
Were you defeated?
No, I still...
You still had that?
I always try and have an optimistic mindset. So yeah. I was just like, okay, let's do this again.
Are there ever any days, though? Are there, like, days when you're just like, fuck, why? Like, why am I dealing with this?
Oh, for sure. Not many, luckily. There were a few times, like, the very first time around, after getting out of the hospital for that, after that first month, I just kind of, like, sat there and was just like... just overwhelmed with trying to place everything in my room again and just kind of broke it.
Fuck.
And, but this time around, it was kind of like,
you've been through it before. You're kind of familiar with like what the procedure is going to be. Like it's not as.
Yeah. It was a little different time.
Yeah.
Different this time.
Well, it was stem more invasive. Cell, it was more invasive.
Yeah. So they took one of the phases from the first 2 years that I did. They took one of them and put me through that. Unfortunately, that didn't work. So then that kind of broke my morale a little bit.
Yeah.
Like there was a few days where I was just like, the fuck is going to happen to me? Like, is this the end of my story? Or like, what can they do from here?
Yeah.
So there was actually,
is that because it worked before and now it's not working?
Yeah.
And it's like, why isn't this working? This worked before. I don't know why.
Yeah. So I guess the cells were a little stronger this time or just didn't take. So I actually ended up getting sent up to Toronto to try and get on a study.
For like an experimental type deal?
Yeah.
Or, you know, semi.
Yeah, they're trying out a new drug that has been tried out a few times, but this was Canada's version of testing to see if they're actually going to implement it.
Okay.
So it was a random draw, whether you would get on it or not. And unfortunately, I didn't get on it. So my doctor, before heading up there, was just like, if you don't get on this, get on a plane as soon as possible and come back and we'll do what we can do here.
And is that where the stem cell transplant came in or?
No, this was another round of chemo to try and get me into remission. Mm-hmm. And so luckily it worked this time around. It was shitty.
Yeah.
And then.
Was it more intense? Was it more like concentrated?
It was,
chemo 2.0.
Yeah, higher doses and some different ones because they couldn't give me the same as before because I was at my limit. Mm-hmm. And then after they told me I was in remission, then I had a month of testing and stuff before
the second time.
Yeah, before they gave me the stem cell transplant.
And what was the purpose of the stem cell transplant? To what does it do? What's the?
So they knock out all of your cells in your system. And basically the stem cells are the building blocks of everything in your bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
So they inject them, hope the body is crazy and that it just finds it's where it needs to go.
Right.
And then they regenerate from there and kind of kill off any other cells that are left in your body and try and take over.
So the stem cells are like your Superman cells that are like here to like lay out a fresh new foundation for everything.
And with the GVHD, the graft versus host disease, it's those cells attacking your system because your system is unknown to them.
Right.
Because they're the good cells. And it can backfire.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily it hasn't.
Sweet.
But some people it does.
How are you now today? What's Neil's life like today?
It's good. Just happy to be alive.
You look good.
Thank you. Yeah.
I wasn't hitting on him. Jesus, boys.
I don't know.
Well, now, how do we know now?
Dude, Jared, do you have an erection right now? What the fuck?
I only want to make out with you. I don't want to fuck you. I just want to make out with you.
Nice. I mean, I'm like 4% gay.
Fuck, I'll never hear the end of it. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you feel good. And you said you're just glad to be alive. And I have two more questions that, and they're quick ones, but how has this experience, affected your outlook on life and in particular death? Or has it?
It has. Like that few days where I wasn't sure what they had planned for me. I mean, I was scared shitless. Didn't realize I do not want to die. There's so much I want to do.
Yeah.
But I just can't stop living. Just try and take everything in stride and not look too far into the future. And, yeah, sorry. It was the first.
It was part just of that how has yeah. it affected? Yeah, life and death. And there was one other question. It's kind of a two-parter. You know, this is obviously a huge life-changing experience, and I'm wondering if you could name one thing that leukemia has taken away from you. What would that be?
Sports.
And one thing that leukemia has given you.
Much better outlook on life. Like just trying to live for the day.
Yeah.
And not that they're super important, but like I learned to cook during that time and I got more in touch with my like artsy side and just
cool.
Yeah.
Nice. I've done that since we parted ways in junior high too.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's tough, man. Like sports for a better outlook on life. Like sports are, they're fucking amazing. And yeah. It's so great to like just be out and be active, but like you can still do that in a lot of ways, even though it's very much restricted, but that outlook on life, like that's a pretty beautiful thing too.
Oh yeah, definitely. And with the sports, it's just that I can't play some of the sports I used to, but I took up new things. Like I got really into cycling and
sweet
rock, paper, scissors.
We should go for a ride together.
Yeah. Down. But I mean, whenever I see a soccer field,
you're like, ugh.
Shed a tear, definitely, yeah, yeah. Just because it was taken away from me.
Yeah. Do you play FIFA?
No, I'm not a gamer.
Oh, yeah. Man, good. FIFA's good. So good.
rematch in five, Taylor.
Well, Neil, thank you, man. Thanks for coming in and sharing your experience with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
It's always fascinating to hear all the different sides of cancer, you know, and the different stories of cancer, because every single one of them is so, so unique and so different, no matter if you're talking to one person who has leukemia versus the other person who's had the same type of leukemia. It's always different.
Yeah.
That is it for today. One other thing coming at you from Neil.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little gutless right now. And to the listeners, if you haven't ever checked it out, for the Canadian listeners, go onto the Canadian Blood Services website and check out the One Match program. It's a stem cell transplant donor list. Not necessarily that you will ever get used, but if you're willing to be a person that could potentially donate stem cells to someone that needs it, I hope you do.
Yeah, you said it was called One Match?
One Match, and in the States, it's called Be the Match.
Cool.
With stem cell transplants, it's actually very rare to find a match, or it's hard to find a match. Like, I was lucky because my sister was a perfect match for me, but it was only a 25% chance. Like, you could have four siblings and only one of them be
right.
A match. You could have six siblings and none of them be a match, but someone in the world is probably close enough that they could be a match for you.
Wow.
So, I mean, I didn't realize that was a thing, and I know a lot of my friends that I've talked to and over the last year or so had no idea. So
it's as simple as just taking your fucking blood, putting it into a centrifuge for someone.
Not even. And,
oh, well, there
it's
you go.
It's a swab.
A swab? That's it?
They send you a swab
mail,
and you send it back.
And that's the thing, is you could save someone's life. That right there. Yeah. Like, you could save someone's life just by going in and getting checked out.
Taking
that
being, 5 minutes.
Yeah, that being said, we should chuck that at the top of the episode, put something on to, we'll mention it at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that's something that's extremely important, and extremely awesome. Important to you. And
yeah,
fuck, I can do that.
Dude, yeah, you can. I don't know if I can. I don't know.
You can check
maybe
it out.
You can. Yeah.
I could look into it. Yeah.
And then we can let the listeners know if CF patients.
You can definitely want to do it.
Oh yeah.
You can definitely want to do it. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, right. I want to.
When it comes to getting a stem cell transplant, it's the thought that counts.
No, it's not at all.
No, it's specifically the action.
Absolutely is not at all.
And if you decide you don't even want to donate, like if you get the call up and decide to back out, there's no shame in that, but it's just to have them.
There's a little bit of shame in that.
I will come and hunt you down.
I will come and fucking kill you.
But yeah, just to be on great. The registry.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share that we haven't touched on yet today?
No, not really. Sweet. Just, you know what? Enjoy every minute of your day. Walking down the street, look for beautiful things that you may not see normally. The colors on trees and flowers or whatever, because you never know. Mm-hmm. You may be stuck in a room and not be able to get out and see them.
Yeah.
Fuck, I love that.
Dude, it's been so sweet to use this platform as a way for us to catch up.
Yeah, man.
That was really cool.
And like on a really real and like deep level too. Yeah. So sweet. Thanks, man.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you all so much for listening today. Hope you enjoyed it. As always, go over to iTunes, help us spread our message, help us get these stories out there by rating and reviewing and subscribing on iTunes.
Review.
Go to our Facebook.
Subscribe.
You can keep up to date with what we're up to on Facebook. We tweet some silly stuff sometimes, and our Instagram is fucking on point.
If you do any one thing right now, just go to Facebook and click share on whatever the last post is when you're listening to this, and just share it.
Yeah, just share it.
And write something nice.
Yeah. Unless it's the movie scene that we were talking about sharing. Don't share that. That really has nothing to do with anything.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
And I am Jeremy, and this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.